Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Today we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, Chapter 11, the Veda Kirtan Pastimes, Texts 14 through 34. Text 14. Pena Kale Pratapa Rudra Purusottama Aila Patramitra Sanghe Raja Darsana Charida. At that time, Maharaj Pratapa arrived at Jagannath Puri, Purusottama, and accompanied by his secretaries, ministers, and military officers, went to visit the temple of Lord Jagannath. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It appears that Maharaj Pratapa used to live in Cuttack, his capital. Later, he shifted his capital to Khurda, a few miles from Jagannath Puri. Presently, there is a railway station there called Khurda Road. How many have taken the train from Calcutta to Puri? How many have stopped in Khurda Road? That's the one, it's about halfway between Cuttack and Puri. I think anybody who's driven that road has gone past the town of Pipli, where they have those famous craft items from Orissa, like the things that go over lamps and hang from the ceiling, and the beautiful colored cloth quilts. You wouldn't call them quilts. What are they? Appliques. Thank you. Umbrellas. All kinds of things. Pipli, the road from Bhuvaneswar to Pipli was actually made during the British times. We're very prior to that in this pastime. This is King Pachaparudra 500 years ago, 450 years ago. And the road at that time didn't go to the east. It went to the west. So if you go west of Pipli, you come to Khurda. And that's where King Pachaparudra's other capital was after Cuttack. Cuttack is north, right on the Mahanadi River. So where do you think this conversation that we're going to read took place? We don't know. It's not described. But Maharaj, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in 1510, he was 24 years old. He traveled to Puri, stayed there for only a few months, and then continued traveling south and met Ramananda Roy on the banks of the Godavari River down near Madras, a place called Rajmahandi. So after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued to travel. So this pastime that we're entering now, when Lord Chaitanya came back to Puri, is almost 2 years later. So from the time he met Ramananda Roy, and they had their intimate pastimes. You may remember we read that several months ago. Lord Chaitanya requested him, you give up this government business, and you come spend time with me. I'm going to return to Jagannath Puri. So that's what we're at now. He's returned to Jagannath Puri, and Ramananda Roy, along with the king, are coming to Puri, and this pastime will unfold. Ramananda Rahaila Gajapati Sange Pratame Prabhure Asi Malila Bahurange. When King Pachaparudra returned to Jagannath Puri, Ramananda Rai also came with him. Ramananda Rai immediately went to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great pleasure. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All Indian kings are given titles. Sometimes they are known as Chhatrapati, sometimes Narapati, and sometimes Avasapati. The king of Orissa is addressed as Gajapati. Even today, his name is his title is Gajapati Maharaj. Raya pranati koila prabhu koila alingana dui jane pramavesi karena trandana. Upon meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Roy offered his obeisances. The Lord embraced him and both of them began to cry in the great ecstasy of love. Raya sangi prabhura deki sneha vyavahara sarva bhakta ganera mani haila chamatkara. Seeing Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate dealings with Ramananda Roy, all the devotees were astonished. Raya kahe tumara agnya raja ke kaivida tumara ichaya raja mora vishaya tadvida. Ramananda Roy said, I duly informed King Pachaparudra of your order for me to retire from service. By your grace, the king was pleased to relieve me of these material activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Roy to retire from his governmentship. And according to the Lord's desire, Ramananda Roy petitioned the king. The king was very pleased to give him relief. And thus Ramananda Roy retired from service and received a pension from the government. Text 19. Ami kahi ame hoite nahaya vishaya chaitanya charane rahon yadi agnyahaya. I said, Your Majesty, I'm now not willing to engage in political activities. I desire only to stay at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kindly give me permission. Tomara nama suni raja anandita haila asan haite uti mora alingana haila. When I submitted this proposal to the king immediately upon hearing your name, he was very pleased. Indeed, he instantly arose from his throne and embraced me. Tomara nama suni haila mahapramavesha mora haite dari kare priti vishesha. My dear Lord, as soon as the king heard your holy name, he was immediately overwhelmed by great ecstatic love. Catching my hand, he displayed all the symptoms of love. Tomara ye vartana tumika se vartana nischinta hana bhaja chaitanyera charana. As soon as he heard my petition, he immediately granted me a pension without reductions. Thus the king granted me a full salary as a pension and requested me to engage without anxiety in the service of your lotus feet. Ami chara yoghaya nahi tanre darasana tanre ye bhaje tanre sapara jivana. Then Maharaj Pachaparudra very humbly said, I am most fallen and abominable, and I am unfit to receive an interview with the Lord. One's life is successful if one engages in his service. Paramatri palutena vrajendra nandana konjanme mora ashva dibena darshana. The king then said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. He is very merciful, and I hope that in a future birth, he will allow me an interview. Yetan hara prema atri deki runtu mati tare eka prema leshe nahika amati. My Lord, I do not think that there is even a fraction of Maharaj Pachaparudra's loving ecstasy in me. Prabhu kahe tumi Krishna bhakta pradhana tomake te piritya kare se bhagavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, My dear Ramananda Rai, you are the topmost of all devotees of Krishna. Therefore, whoever loves you is certainly a very fortunate person. So we'll stop there for now and cover this. So meditating on this pastime, you figure that Mahaprabhu almost a couple years ago talked to Ramananda Roy. So at some point, we can see that this conversation did not happen at Puri, because earlier we read that as soon as they arrived, Maharaj Pachaparudra and his gang, associates, went to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, and Ramananda Roy immediately went to the home of Kasi Misra. to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was no discussion like, now I want to give up this governmentship and go be with Mahaprabhu. That had already been discussed in an earlier time, either at Quarter Road or at Cuttack, or even perhaps during those 2 years, the king traveled all the way to Madras or Chennai, Rajahmundry, where Ramananda Roy was the governor. During that 2 years, at some point, this conversation took place. 400 miles between Puri and where Ramananda, where between Cuttack, Puri, actually Puri, and where Ramananda Roy was. 500 years ago, travel 400 miles is a good distance. I looked it up. What highway number are we at I-75? What exit number? 399. So 650 kilometers is 400 miles. So I looked up, where does I-75 start? Because that way I could find out where 400 miles was. And it's down near Naples someplace. In Naples, then it goes over towards Miami, and then I-75 goes west and comes up the whole coast of the Gulf of Mexico, and then around Tampa, starts to bend in a little bit, and then comes by here to Alachua. So all that distance, all the way down to Naples, Florida, is the approximate distance between Puri and where Ramananda Roy was governor. Is in that day and age, that takes time to travel. So somehow or another, they got together, and Ramananda Roy is expressing to Mahaprabhu how the king was so overwhelmed with ecstasy as soon as he heard his name. He said, he's Krishna, he's the son of Maharaj Nanda, and he's advented in my kingdom, and I want to get an interview, but I'm so fallen. How did he know he was king, the son of Maharaj Nanda? Anybody want to help? How did King Pachapuruja know that? Who specifically knew that Lord Chaitanya was Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, and could instruct the king and tell him that? Very good. Yes, thank you. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was also very close with the king. In fact, the king asked him, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Krishna, please get me an interview, arrange this. I want to meet him and bow down at his lotus feet. So this is the stirrings of what's starting to take place as we enter into the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu. Previously we read about all the different devotees coming like rivers into the ocean to be with him. And now finally, Ramananda Roy, who will be one of his most intimate associates as he begins to enter more deeply into his loving ecstasy in the mood of Srimati Radharani. We'll read about that in a minute. So now, that's more or less the pattern of the story, where we are historically in the storyline, what's happening in this chapter, as all the devotees have come, and now they'll gather, and the devotees from Navadvip will come. The next six verses, reveal the pattern that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami uses in presenting Chaitanya Charitamrita. Generally, what he does is he'll reveal a pastime or a story or a concept, and then he'll support it and explain it with different verses from Shastra. So now he's explained how Ramananda Roy explained to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the feelings that Ramananda Roy felt, that King Pachapuruja felt, when Ramananda Roy asked him to give up his governorship. And immediately, the king reaction, spontaneously, he didn't think about it, he got right up off his throne and embraced Ramananda Roy. And said, oh, you're so fortunate. Please, go, take a pension. If a politician did that today, there would be an oversight committee that would cause a problem. Right? Because of his personal favoritism towards this individual, and give him a government pension from the taxes. But no, King Pachapuruja as a monarch can do that. So now, then in the text 26, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "My dear Ramananda, you are the foremost of devotees of Krishna. Therefore, whoever loves you is certainly a very fortunate person." So now he'll explain in the form of quotes from other shastras what this attitude of King Pataparudra reveals. Text 27. Egona Krishna tame kariba angikara. Because the king has shown so much love for you, Krishna will certainly accept him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Pataparudra requested an interview with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Bhattacharya, who duly submitted the request. The Lord, however, immediately refused this interview, and we've been hearing about that the last few weeks. Now, when Ramananda Rai informed the Lord how eager the Lord was to see him, the Lord was immediately pleased. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Rai to retire from his government post and come to Sri Purusottama Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, to live with him. When this proposal was submitted to King Pataparudra, he immediately accepted it and also encouraged Ramananda Rai by allowing him a full pension. This was very much appreciated by the Lord, and this confirms the fact that the Lord is more pleased when one serves the servant of the Lord. In ordinary parlance, it is said, "If you love me, love my dog." To approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to go through his confidential servant. This is the method. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clearly says, "Because the king loves you, Ramananda Rai, he is very fortunate, and Krishna will certainly accept him due to his love for you." Text 28. Yeme bhakta jana partha name bhaktas cha te jana mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas teme bhaktatma ma teme bhaktatma mata. Lord Krishna told Arjuna, "Those who are my direct devotees are actually not my devotees, but those who are devotees of my servant are factually my devotees." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes this verse from the Adi Purana. This verse is also included in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita. You know how when a machine first starts off, if you have one that starts off slowly, it's a good example of something that starts to churn slowly and picks up as it goes on, and then finally starts going faster. What Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is doing in this whole book, practically speaking, is creating one of those kind of slow, progressive narrations that brings the reader to higher and higher realms of consciousness by revealing how the Lord's pastimes exhibited that experience. When he first appeared, nobody knew who he was. He was a little baby. But by the end of his life, he was scratching the walls. He was running out of his room at night and displaying the pastimes of Korma Rupa like a pumpkin in ecstasy of meditation upon Krishna, jumping into the ocean, becoming elongated and melted. Exhibitions of transcendental love and ecstasy never heard of before. And the whole book gradually reveals the ecstasy that and how that develops. And it also takes the reader along the path of entering into that experience. So in this part of the book, he's showing how Mahaprabhu, what is happening here is he's introducing a principle, how the Lord becomes pleased upon his devotee to bestow upon him such love. It's like math. First you have to learn 0 through 9. Then you learn how to add. Then subtract. And if you remember when we were children, this was not easy. It's concepts that were kind of beyond our grasp. And you had to learn like these tables. Sometimes they didn't really have cognizance of what it meant. You just learned the numbers. Then there's multiplication and division. And you start to understand how the numbers work a little better. And then algebra, where they start to add even letters into the numbers, and calculus, and physics, and quantum physics, and great scientists who are very advanced in mathematics can discuss and talk about these concepts of mathematical formulas and relish their experience, but the layman doesn't even know what's going on, because they're still back at adding and subtracting and multiplying and fractionalizing at best. So the whole thing is going on here in this particular dynamic, this particular principle and mechanics of how to obtain the Lord's pleasure are being described. Texts 29 and 30. Adara paricharyayam sarvangera vivandanam madbhakta pujabhadika sarvabhuteshu matmati manmati marartesyangachestacha vachasamadvunemanam mayarpanam chamanasa sarvakama vivarjanam. My devotees take care and respect in rendering me service. They offer obeisances unto me with all their bodily limbs. They worship my devotees and find all living entities related to me. For me, they engage their entire energy of their bodies. They engage the power of their speech in glorification of my qualities and form. They also dedicate their minds to me and try to give up all kinds of material desires. Thus, my devotees are characterized. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. These two verses are quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 9, 21, 19, 21, and 22. They were spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who was answering Uddhava's inquiry about devotional service. Now, you can take this, each quote that comes from a verse can be taken and you can dive into that pool and experience that reality and that nectar and that rasa, and then apply it back to our present situation, our present narration. And what will happen again, it's like an epic. It's a transcendental tapestry of beauty. How Krishnadas Kaviraj is taking these verses that we're all familiar with, concepts that we can actually understand. But as he progresses, he'll be doing the same thing with Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talking about Mahabhava, Rudra, love of Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And it kind of loses a lot of readers because we can't follow it. It's like the quantum physics being discussed by great mathematicians. But if we follow the process and enter into each one of these and follow it along, then we'll be like those mathematicians that learned how to follow the use of the numbers. So in this particular conversation, what happened was that when Uddhava knew that the Lord was going to end his pastimes, he went and said, "Please, my Lord, take me with you. And you're ending your pastime, just like Haridas Thakur. I don't want to see this final lila. Please take me with you." But the Lord had another plan. He said, "No, I want you to go to Bhadrika Ashram. I want you to share these teachings with the saints and sages and devotees there. It's important that they hear from you." So then he instructed him the Uddhava Gita. And that's what this is. Now, we can also understand the intimacy of and the harbinger. It's a literary use where you introduce something just a little bit, which indicates a later activity. Mahaprabhu is in the mood in his more elevated states of Srimati Radharani, in association with whom? She's feeling separation from Krishna. What, remember when she's talking to the bumblebee? What awoken? What waked up that? What stirred that? What inspired that reaction? Who was it that she was with that brought her to that state of consciousness? Uddhava. Same thing going on here. He's talking to Uddhava. Uddhava, practically speaking, out of the whole Vrishni dynasty on all the Yadus, he was the most intimate friend of Krishna. He had great love for Krishna. His family, his cousin, they were so tight. But Krishna could see that Uddhava is lacking something. He doesn't understand anything about what I've been through and my devotees in Brajabhumi. So he sent Uddhava to go experience and witness that with a message. And when Uddhava, who is the most dear in the entire creation, other than this one village, he is the most dear person to Krishna, except in that one village. And he comes and he sees these devotees' love for Krishna, Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, Radharani and the Gopis, and he just, oh my God, who am I? Let me become a blade of grass so that when they walk by me, maybe their dust from their feet will touch me. He was overwhelmed. So the love of Krishna is infinite. Actually, as I've been reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, I had this beautiful, like, heady intimacy with the infinite. How is that even relatable? The infinite, how can the tiny jiva be intimate with the infinite? But yet, because he's infinite, he can manifest himself individually with each part and parcel, very intimately. And that's what Mahaprabhu has come to teach. So he's teaching this principle with this pastime of Ram, with his associates. They're experiencing and living it and also teaching by it. So that's what's happening here with this pastime of Ramananda Rai. Now a nice verse from the Devi Purana. Lord Shiva speaking to his wife. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur Radhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samachanam. Let's do this one responsibly, the way we usually do verses. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur Radhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samachanam. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samachanam. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samachanam. Ladies? Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samachanam. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samachanam. Lord Shiva told the goddess Durga, my dear Devi, although the Vedas recommend worship of demigods, the worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost. However, above the worship of Lord Vishnu is the rendering of service to Vaishnavas who are related to Lord Vishnu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Vedas are divided into three divisions, Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and Upasanakanda. There are activities dealing with fruitive work, empiric philosophical speculation, and worship. There are recommendations in the Vedas for the worship of various demigods, as well as Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva answers Durga's question in this quotation from Padma Purana. This verse is also included in the Lago Bhagavatamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami. Lago Bhagavatamrita is a collection of verses which prove that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words Vishnu or Radhanum refer to worship of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Thus, the supreme form of worship is the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That sentence is kind of is there, but it jumps out of the page. The supreme form of worship is the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. It is further concluded that the worshiper of Lord Vishnu renders better service by worshiping the devotee of Lord Krishna. In other words, the main lesson that we're learning in this pastime is that the Supreme Person, His nature, His character, His personality is such that He is more pleased when someone pleases His devotee. He's more pleased. If you want to please Krishna, He's saying, it's like Prabhupada gives that example of give me water. If the guru asks for water and the disciple thinks, well, actually, milk is better than water, I'll just give him some milk since it's better. But the guru said, no, I wanted water. So in the same way, the character, the person of Krishna is actually revealing that it is more pleasing to me when you worship my devotee. That will please me. There are different types of devotees. Those in Shanta Rasa, Dasya Rasa, Sakyavasa, Vatsalya Rasa, and Madhurya Rasa. Although all these rasas are on the transcendental platform, the Madhurya Rasa is the supreme transcendental mellow. Consequently, it is concluded that the worship of devotees engaged in the Lord's service in the Madhurya Rasa is the supreme spiritual activity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers mainly worship Lord Krishna in the Madhurya Rasa. Other Vaishnavacharyas recommend worship in the Vatsalya Rasa. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami in his Vedadga Madhava 1.2 describes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult as supreme. Anarpita charim charak karunayavatirna kalu samaryapaitum unodvalarasam swabhakti triyam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this age of Kali to exhibit the super excellence of Madhurya Rasa, a gift never previously bestowed by any acharya or incarnation. Consequently, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepted as the most magnanimous incarnation. It is he only who distributed love of Krishna while exhibiting the super excellence of loving Krishna and the conjugal rasa. So today, being the disappearance day of Sri the Jiva Goswami, we can also add a little bit of a narration of his pastimes and how we, in our sampradaya and our lives, are influenced and owe a great debt of gratitude to Jiva Goswami for his contribution. He, of course, was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan, the son of Anupama. So I was thinking of four different things that Jiva Goswami has bestowed upon us, who during his life he did this, and therefore we reap the benefit of that. First of all, is he composed Satsandarbha. Although we don't read Satsandarbha, who knows what Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam means? Everybody knows what that means. We know that because Jiva Goswami, Rupa and Sanatan also, composed these books, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano, Sadharma Samstapako. They entered into the essence of Vedic Shastras and milked the cream to the top, cooked the cream into sweet burfi, and then distributed it in the form of their books, revealing these topmost concepts of theology and love. So the Satsandarbha by Jiva Goswami established the entire foundation for our sampradaya's siddhanta, practically every book follows his, is built upon the pillar of those books. So Satsandarbha is one of them. Another one, it's books, the way I remember what I, my four, is books and temples, others' books, and others' temples. So books and temples, others' books, and others' temples. His books, Satsandarbha, Gopalachampu. The story of Gopalachampu in Vrindavan is an interesting story. There was a, at that time we remember from like the Kesava Kasmiri, there were traveling debaters who liked to go around and debate philosophy. So one of them was named Rupa Kaviraj. Rupa Kaviraj came to Vrindavan. He wanted to defeat everybody there. This is the story where he went to Rupa Goswami and he said, I want to debate. And Rupa Goswami had no interest to debate with this man. He said, no, I'm not going to debate with you. He said, then I need chip from you. I need ticket saying that I have defeated you in debate. Rupa Goswami said, fine, here, take my chip. You defeat me. But Jiva Goswami, who was younger and a disciple of Rupa Goswami, saw this exchange. And when Rupa Kaviraj left, then Jiva Goswami followed behind him and said, what was the topic that you wanted to discuss with my uncle, perhaps debate about? And he had read some of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, so he said, oh, I wanted to discuss with him this topic. I think there's a little anomaly in this, and I think it can be improved. And in the conversation, Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada said that he was probably the most intellectual philosopher that ever lived. Jiva Goswami. He's the one also that created, what's the name of that? Vyakarna, grammar, where every single word or letter relates to Krishna. He created a whole grammatical science of how that is. So he completely defeated Rupa Kaviraj. But when Rupa Goswami heard about this, he became furious. Because he had not wanted him to waste time in debate. So he actually told him, Jiva, you should leave Vrindavan. You're not qualified to stay here any longer. So Jiva Goswami went up near Ramghat, which is a little outside of Vrindavan town, but it's still Braj, near where Nanda Maharaj was caught by Varuna. There's a village up there in Chirgat where Krishna stole the garments of the gopis. So he was living there for several months. They didn't know anything about him, where he was or anything. One day, back near the Bidan Mohan temple, Sanatana Goswami went down to the Jamuna to say his Gayatri, and he was standing in the river, quiet. Flow of the river was happening, he was saying his Gayatri. Also, all of a sudden, something bumped into him. He could feel it. He looked down, and it was like all these little palm leaves around him. And he pulled it out, and he saw that it was writing on it. He couldn't know, what is this? And he started to read it, and it was like, oh, this is beautiful. And you know, it was Jiva's handwriting. So he collected all the different palm leaves that had drifted down in the Jamuna, and he went north because he knew that that's where it come down the river, so it's obviously where Jiva was. And he went here and there, and he was asking the villagers, where is this and that? Finally, he found, everybody was telling him. So he found this old big hole, like a semi-cave, near on the banks of the Jamuna, where an alligator had lived, and dug it out, and that's where Jiva Goswami was living. So he brought him back to Vrindavan, but he didn't bring him in front of Jiva Goswami, in front of Rupa Goswami. He said, you wait here. And Jiva had become very thin, and he was depressed on one side, and he was being very austere, and he was writing his Gopalachampu. That was the book that floated down the Jamuna. And he went to Rupa Goswami, and he was sitting there taking a shower. And he said, you know, part of our mission is to bestow mercy upon the fallen living entities. Yes? Yes, definitely. He said, well, that means we're supposed to help all jivas. He said, yes, of course we're supposed to help all jivas, Rupa Goswami. And he said, well, what about our nephew? And then he called him and he said, this jiva has now been away enough long enough time. We should allow him to come in. And Rupa Goswami said, yes. So again, he was welcomed back. Now, skip forward 450 years, and one of the devotees goes into the British Museum, a library in Britain, and he sees this old manuscript with a picture, I'm sure you've seen it, of what we now know as Rupa Goswami, you know, this picture, and he sees in Arabic that says Rupa. So he starts to propagate that this was Rupa Goswami because it said Rupa. But some of the scholars in Vrindavan were wondering, wow, how is it that this ended up in an Arabic Muslim book? So they went, Srivats Goswami from the Radharaman temple also is a scholar. He taught at Harvard, and that's how he met Garuda, because he was a teacher of Vaishnavism, Vaishnava philosophy in Harvard. So he went to the British Museum, found the book, looked it up, and it's actually Rupa Kaviraj. It's not Rupa Goswami. So the deity that you see at Radhadamodar Temple and on all the books with that picture of Rupa, for our clarification, it's not Rupa Goswami. So that's, and Jiva Goswami, what he did was he established the Radhadamodar Temple. So that temple is where Srila, so we have the Satsandarbha. We have the temple that he established where Srila Prabhupada stayed and translated Srimad Bhagavatam. Books, temple. Now others' books. What did Jiva Goswami do when Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one copy. Brihat Bhagavatamrita, one copy. Hari Bhakti Vilas, one copy. All these books, Chaitanya Charitamrita, one copy. There was only one copy of all these books. And he collected all the books of the Goswamis that they had written and kept them in a library at Radhadamodar. And then he instructed his disciples, Srinivas, Narottam, and Duki Krishnadas, Shamananda Goswami, to take these books to Bengal and have them copied. So he's so instrumental in how could we ever get these books? Rupa Goswami writes this book and he leaves it. And then he leaves this world. How is that end up in our hand? Jiva Goswami, first one, took that book and made sure that this would be the beginning of the distribution of this knowledge. His book, his temple, others' books. Now another temple. Who can tell me how Jiva Goswami is influential in another temple that influences us in our society today? See if we can connect some dots. No, I already mentioned Radhadamodar Temple is his temple. One time, after Rupa and Sanatan had left Ramakeli and gone and moved to Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami, as a young man, grew up, learned the Shastra, and wanted to go be with them. But prior to that, he wanted to go to Navadvip and pay his respects at the birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Jiva Goswami walked from Ramakeli to Mayapur. When he was in Mayapur, he heard that Lord Nityananda was there with his Sankirtan party. So Jiva Goswami went to Nithai, bowed down before him, and was in great ecstasy and said, oh, please let me serve you. And Nityananda Prabhu said, no, you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed that you must go to Vrindavan and serve under the guidance of your uncles. So Jiva Goswami said, yes, but before I go, please explain to me the glories of this Dham, Navadvip Dham, where Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written the book, Navadvip Dham Mahatma, based on Nityananda Prabhu's instructions to Jiva Goswami. While they were walking around these holy places, this is the famous verse that devotees, I don't know the Bengali, but they love to quote it, that Lord Nityananda explained that from here, a great temple will be born, developed and constructed. And from this temple, this Krishna consciousness movement will be spread around the entire world. So Ambarish and ISKCON are building that temple on the faith that that prediction by Lord Nityananda to Jiva Goswami is true. There you go. So, his temple, his books, other people's books, and other people's temples. Jagadish and Hiranya were two brothers, Jagadish Pandit and his brother Hiranya. They lived in Mayapur, kind of close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they were older. They were actually friends of Jagannath Misra and Sachi Mata. So, we all know the story of when little Nimai was a young boy. When he started to cry, all the ladies would gather together and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, and he would stop crying. But one day, he was crying and crying, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he just kept crying. He wouldn't stop. I said, Nimai, what is it? Why won't you stop? He said, Jagadish, I think he knew it was Jagadish. He said, Jagadish is offering Mahaprasad to Lord Vishnu for Akadasi. If I take some of that Mahaprasad, then I can stop crying. Then I will live happily. So the ladies went to Jagadish and in fact found that he and his brother made this whole big offering that day. So they told him that, you know, now Jagadish Pandit, it's described in Gauragona Deshtipika that in his previous Krishna Leela, he was one of the wives of Kaliya. And he was also a dancer named Chandrahas. There's two verses which describe his character. So it's said in Chaitanya Bhagavat that he knew Gopal had taken birth as Nimai. So he said, oh, they said, just give us a little prasad. We want a little prasad for Nimai. He's crying. He said, no, you take the whole offering. Big offering that day. So they brought all the goods to bring it over to the house. And Nimai started to eat and became very, very pleased. So today is also Jagadish Pandit's disappearance day. Jai. Yes. Huh? Yeah.
So we know that Jiva Goswami, he wrote 6 sandarbhas, but in reality it's 7 sandarbhas. So why did we call it 6 sandarbhas?
I'm not really that familiar. You'd have to find a person who'd study all those different things. I don't want to go into that topic right now. Let's bring it up at the end of the class, okay? Also, it's mentioned here, just a little bit. We got a couple more. We have 2 more verses to read. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's described here how, in the purport, it's interesting. Lord Shiva is instructing to Parvati about how worship of Vishnu is the highest worship. And worship as devotees is even more highest worship. And then Srila Prabhupada in his purports discussing Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya. And as I'm reading Chaitanya Charitamrita for our course, I was just now reading about how not only is it Madhurya Rasa, there's Svakya and Parakya, wedded love, the queens and the Lakshmis, but there's also the Parakya Rasa. And this Parakya Rasa is only manifest in the village of Vrindavan, in the place called Braj. That Braj love, the love that manifests there, doesn't exist anywhere in Vaikuntha, nowhere else in Goloka Vrindavan, and what to speak of in this material world. And Krishna, in this age, has manifested his form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and come to this planet and performed his pastimes. Specifically, with the intention to bestow that kind of intimacy with the infinite upon the living entities in Kali Yuga. That is one of the main reasons he had invented here. One was to experience it himself, and the other was to distribute it. But in Kali Yuga, it's kind of a great dichotomy. People in other ages performed austerities for thousands of years, meditation, 40,000 years in order to attain perfection. And somehow or another, we've come to the concept that I can get the maximum benefit. I can get this love of Krishna intimate with the infinite for a very small price. I really don't even have to try very hard. I can just do a few little, you know, chant 16 rounds, four regular principles, and basically I'm going to attain that love. But actually what happens is that as you, that's the introductory door, and it's true, but as you go down the rabbit hole and start to experience what is actually happening here, is that we're being taught how to refine our sentiments. Love means pure sentiment. And we're adulterated with selfishness and pride and greed and all these lower qualities. Pure sunyam, anyabhilasita sunyam, means it's without any impurity. It's unalloyed. An alloy is like, if you have gold, 24 karat gold, that's pure gold. If you add something to it, silver and copper to make a coin, then it's an alloy. It's not, no longer unalloyed. So pure devotional service requires by its very nature that we become refined to purity. And that's what these concepts and principles are actually revealing to us, where we need to work on. We need to work on our sentiment that I want to serve Krishna's devotee, because that will please Krishna. And so on. Vyasuno, can you play that verse? That this is a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, a lecture clip, on this verse between Lord Shiva and Parvati.
The common word meaning is, if you love me, love my dog. It is very important. So, thank you.
die. So let's do these last couple of verses. Text 32. Dhurapa yalpa tapasa sevavai kontavartmasu yathropa ghiyate nityam deva devo janardana. Those whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of pure devotees progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and controller of all living entities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.7.20, spoken by Vidura in his conversations with Maitreya Rishi, a great devotee of the Lord. Hari Bharati Goswami Swarupa Nityananda Jagananda Mukundadi Yata Bhakta Vrinda Paramananda Puri Brahmananda Bharati Gosani Swarup Damodar Gosani Lord Nityananda Jagadananda Mukunda and others were present before the Lord at that time. At this time when Ramananda Rai came and spoke to the Lord about this experience with King Pataparudra, then these were the devotees that was present. And in this way, this particular section is describing King Pachaparudra's, and what we'll be reading in subsequent weeks is how King Pachaparudra's enthusiasm to meet the Lord grows and how it becomes actually arranged. And part of the big pillar underneath the whole experience is his attitude toward Ramananda Roy. Who can help us by giving another example when a devotee went to a king and said, I want to give up this kingly, this government business and go to and worship Mahaprabhu and be with Mahaprabhu. And his reaction, Madana. Sanatan Goswami. And Hussein Shah was very favorable. Yes, gave him a big hug, told him to take a pension. They put him in jail. So we see the two different attitudes toward the same kind of request. But that was an interesting one. Yes, what is this, right? And then Sanatan revealed. Actually, I have no interest in this anymore. And then, yes. And also, Haridas Thakur, this is chanting, but he's a Muslim. And the Qazi had him caned and dragged through the streets. So there are different ways to relate with Krishna's devotees when they have a request. And these are different examples, but we see that because King Pachaparudra, another thing I was reading, we'll call it transcendental speculation. King Pachaparudra, I heard somebody ask either last week or the week before who he was in Krishna Lila. It's not mentioned that he was in Krishna Lila. He's in, he was King Indradumna, who is the devotee who, if you remember way back at the beginning of the second half of Lord Brahma's life, he wanted to see Nilamadhava. He had heard about a deity that was so beautiful. And he sent his emissaries to different parts of the world, and Vidyapati came to Purusottama Kshetra and saw the deity, but then came back and they all went. And there was the whole transformation. And he's actually the devotee that arranged as a king for the installation of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath is Krishna in the form of Mahabhava Prakash. It's a form, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his form of Korma Rupa. He became in such ecstasy in the mood of Srimati Radharani that his arms and legs went into his body. They found him, he was like a pumpkin. He was next to the Jagannath temple. His body was cold, but inside he was experiencing the great. And then when they chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, they brought him back to external consciousness, and his limbs popped out, and he started saying, "Where am I? Why have you brought me here? I was in Vrindavan. And he got up and he started to run, and they brought him back down, and he revealed his meditations. So in the same way, when Krishna is in Dwarka, when Krishna is in Mathura, and starts to enter into this mood of feeling separation from his loved ones in Vrindavan and in Braj, Mother Yasoda, especially the gopis, Srimati Radharani, he goes into this ecstasy, his eyes become dilated, his hands, his body, and he becomes stunned in an ecstasy called Mahabhava Prakas. So he's feeling separation. The flow of Krishna's lila is called lila pravaha. It's like a river. Flows constantly, new waves and currents going in that river. And there are two sides to the banks of the river. There's the bank of Sambhoga, which is needy. Sambhoga, Milan, means to meet. In Vrindavan, the separations between Krishna and his gopi friends is usually only a few hours. He goes away to herd the cows, but to them, Yugayitam Nameshena, Chakshusha Pavasayitam, Sanyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govind, the other enemy, even one moment. And then when he comes back, and they see the beauty in the afternoon, they come back, when he comes back, their expectation, their feelings of love are so inflamed that they become disturbed because they have eyelids and they blink, which interrupts so ever so slightly, but they're so absorbed that even their eyelids, they're, oh, what a foolish creator. It made these things in there to stop our vision of Krishna. So that is Sambhoga. It's actually a meeting. The feelings of separation are temporary. On the other side of the river is the feelings of separation, the feelings of viraha. When Krishna leaves and goes to Mathura, there's no hope. It becomes lost. The feelings of separation enter a whole new dimension and level of hopelessness and feelings of separation. So King Pataparudra, having an intimate association with Lord Jagannath, is on that side of the river. So he is now meeting with Mahaprabhu, who's in the, or desiring to meet. He's in that mood. So he's not really part of the other. We have no information of him ever going to Vrindavan or being part of a Vrindavan Basi. Swarup Damodar, of course, is Lalita and Vishaka Ramananda Ra. But there's other devotees, Gadadhar Pandit. He is Radharani in the mood of having lost Krishna, stolen that mood of separation. And he's experiencing it in Mahaprabhu. So she's come to help Krishna, but she can't have that same mood as Radharani and Vrindavan. It's rasa-basa. It doesn't work. So therefore, Gadadhar Pandit never went to Vrindavan. That wouldn't work. There are devotees, Haridas Thakur, never went to Vrindavan. There are devotees who are absorbed in that mood of separation from Krishna, and they're with Krishna in that lila, which is a separate bank of the river. So, any questions or comments?
This Padma Purana verse, Radhananam Sargasham Krishna Radhananam, is it just like elevated devotees, or is it all devotees? It seems like in this context, it's elevated devotees that we get that it's the topmost if we're serving the elevated devotees. But what about just in general, Vaishnava?
Of course, we should have that attitude, and that's also pleasing to Krishna. But the more one is intimate with Krishna, the more you can please that person, the more it pleases Krishna. That would be my understanding. It's just like a person who's a king. If you're part of the, if you're serving his minister, or, you know, you're rendering service to the government, then that's pleasing to the king. But if you go into the palace and you help his children, or you help his wife, or his loved ones, and you become intimate with them, and you become part of that, you enter into another realm of intimacy with the king. You become more dear to the king than if you're out in the kingdom serving.
It seems that there's potential of a misunderstanding of that verse. Well, I'll serve Prabhupada and not deal respectfully or have a service move to other devotees. It's kind of like a Kanishtha platform.
That is very Kanishtha platform, because how do you please Srila Prabhupada? By pleasing his devotees. It's exponential as it goes out. And again, we're back to the concept of a refined sentiment.
Refined
sentiment. Our sentiments are not pure. And if we can refine those sentiments through service to the devotees, then that helps us along that path. And by Yogamaya's arrangement, we'll be put into an atmosphere and a situation where we can render service to more and more dear devotees of Krishna. Bhagat Mikha.
You said you gave the example of serving the intimate family members of the king, and that's more pleasing. But yet the injunction to become the servant of the servant of the servant 10 times removed is there, and that's more pleasing. What is the Shastric reference for that, or how is this contradictory?
Right. Dasana, 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 dasana. My understanding of that, as we discuss, and let's put it into this context, intimacy with the infinite, is that the sentiment Krishna is revealing is that it's more pleasing to me that you serve my devotee. It's more pleasing to me that you serve my intimate friends. In other words, if I want to be intimate with Krishna, personally, with Krishna, I want to be Krishna's lover. I want to be intimate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, me and him one-on-one. The sentiment is that it's more pleasing and more elevating to serve those, especially Srimati Radharani. She is the counterpart of Krishna. She is Fladini Shakti. She is the pleasure potency personified. So Krishna and no one else can render service like she does. Actually, all service, even the gopis and the Lakshmis and the queens, are all expansions of Srimati Radharani. What to speak of the jivas who are Tatastha Shakti. All that goes through Srimati Radharani to render service to Krishna. She's the via media. So she has her intimate associates, and they have their intimate associates, and they have their intimate associates. So if you're serving an intimate associate, like the Manjari Bhava, if you're serving Srimati Radharani with the mood that she will give pleasure to Krishna, and that is my worship, rather than desiring to be with Krishna personally, then that's dasa, or dasyana dasi, dasana das. And that, again, we're back to the refinement of sentiment of what is pleasing to the Lord is this selfless attitude. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Jiva Goswami ki jai, Jagadish Pandit ki jai, Ramananda Rai ki jai.